how that song goes back again. Anyway, man, I'm back. Happy New Year. Late with this episode, so I had to take some stuff out that I was going to put in there. My bad. But I got a book review. I got The 5 Principles by Stickman. I did a review on that. I do review on King's Disease 3 by Nas and the young producer Hit-Boy. I do a mini review of Star Wars Andor. And I talk about my late discussion on Kwanzaa Principles. So check it out. Tape at, B.
This is my 50th spin around the sun, yo. Going to be on March 3rd, so I'm still trying to figure out what I'm gonna do for that. But yeah, your boys will be 50. I can't say your boy anymore, your man's, right? Man, I got a lot to talk about, so I will be doing a discussion on that on this podcast and talk about how it feels, the myths, you know what I mean? The fears, the terrors, the triumphs. Then, you know, just looking back in my life, I'm like, holy smokes, I did that. So definitely, like, really want to touch on that. Because I notice a lot of podcasts are produced by people much younger than I, usually in their 30s. And the stuff that I'm into culturally is usually people in their 20s. So I don't really find too many podcast people about my age if it isn't something that deals with a particular, like, genre, like true crime or something. So or you know, entertainer. So definitely, I'm not saying I'm going to change my podcast up to that, but I'm going to be looking forward to finding podcasts like that and maybe being a guest on some of them and bringing them up to this podcast. So, but yeah, your man's 50. Word is born. I got a lot to talk about, right? What is it in? Is it a power refinement cipher, right? Right? I think that's what the pre-mathematic number is for that word. Let me preach to the choir real quick. New Year's resolutions. Do them. I say this every year. Do them. We need good peer pressure, right? You need to get it in, right? It's a good way. It's a positive way of becoming a better person. This year, I have 5. I'm only going to talk about 2 later on, but I have 5. I usually do 3 because 3 is real simple, but I got to put a little bit more work. Kind of fell off in 2022, so I just want to do better. So that's pretty much it. But you should do them. Everybody should do them. You know what I mean? And there's people out there who say, I don't like doing them and all of that. Look, even to people who want to become gym rats or gym junkies, and they go January and February and in March they fall off. Even I think that's even, it's a step in the right direction. You know what I mean? Like, and who knows? You might stick with it this year, right? I'm very optimistic about that, right? If there's anything I'm fundamentalistic about, is my optimism. So do it, man. It's positive, man. I like positive things. You know, yeah, try to be a new you. That'd be a great idea. Why is that not a great idea? It's a great idea. Let's do it. So I got 2 resolutions for y'all. One of them is definitely be more consistent when it comes to my podcast. I know 2022, I was horrible with that. I think I maybe did like 10 episodes throughout the year. I finished out season 7, but barely put it out season 8. So I got to finish season 8. So what, maybe 15 episodes. So that's one of my resolutions, to be more consistent when it comes with that. And I'm definitely going to use my guests for that. Shout out to KDB Fly. Shout out to Zemo, the Divine Power, because they always be the ones that be like, hey, you need to do a show on this, you need to do a show on that. So I appreciate them supporting me on that. But the second thing I wanted to do too is, and I know I say this all the time, but I wanted to make this a resolution. These are just 2. I got plenty. I'm going to stop using self-service when I go to the store. I'm really done with that. Because when you look at the concept, it's kind of like you pay them so that you can,
you know, pay for your own groceries and pack it. You know what I mean? Like, nah, I'm not doing that no more, man. Word is bond. Like, for real, for real. Like, I'm not doing that. It's ridiculous. I could see if they were like, oh, you know, it's only for express items, you know, 10 or more. But people be bringing out two or three carts and they take forever. It's just, it's a lot, man. So I don't mind talking to people. I noticed that at some stores, the lines to get to the full service checkout are longer. So I'm just going to have to brave that. But I'm not doing self-service no more. I'm not doing the work, man. I just have to wait another 10, 15 minutes. So word is bond. So originally I was supposed to post this on the day of Nia for Kwanzaa. And I know that I'm late with this. It's already 2023. But what happened was I was supposed to be on somebody else's show to talk about JAMA, which means cooperative economics, and it didn't work out that way. So I want to talk about Ujamaa. Before I say this, I do want to say that the way I've always approached Kwanzaa, the way it was taught to me is it's supposed to be a celebration of the principles. And for some of us, it's one of those things where we get to look back at the year and reflect on which principles we focused on and which you might want to focus on the following year. I know a lot of times when I see people put Kwanzaa events together, they have like people that come and lecture and stuff like that. And it's not a big fan of that. Shout out to the Varners. They told me it's supposed to be a celebration. So, and here's why I look at it from this perspective. When you look at all the seven principles, I'm not going to go over them here. We kind of already do them, right? So when they say Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, just build and support businesses in our own community, we kind of already do that, right? It's not, first of all, it's not rocket science. And second of all, we do it every day. And I'm pretty sure we have somebody in our family who has their own business, and usually mostly Black people support those businesses. And it's just something that I've seen all my life, and I'm pretty sure it's been going on since Black people first came to this continent, right? So it's, when people talk about what we should do, is I say we're already doing it, so it should be a celebration of that fact. I did want to be on the Big Homie show. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't like doing that, but it's just the idea of we have, you know, we believe that these are things that will lead to our liberation, right? And yes, we're doing all these things every day, right? We are doing all seven principles every day. We're doing what we can for liberation, right? I think what we think, there's a group of people out there, and I think Brother Diallo calls it the CEO cults of worship, where they worship CEOs. I've talked about it on the show as well, and they think that CEOs, you know, and Black capitalism is what's going to save us, when really it's just the accumulation of materials, right? Because Mlana Karanga and the US organization didn't talk about this. Really, who owns the means of production, who owns the resources, that's who actually has the economic power. And this idea of our consumption doesn't really equal wealth or power. And we focus too much on spending, and thinking that we can spend our way to liberation. I think that's very dangerous. I'm going to talk about this later on throughout the year when we talk about how this idea of Black capitalism and the Black bourgeoisie are people that are going to save us, when really all they really want to do is make more money, which is nothing. Ultimately, there's nothing wrong with you if you want to make more money. It's cool. We all got to eat. But there's this idea that they know what they're doing. And, you know, it's back to that talent and talent stuff that W.E. Du Bois, who's one of my heroes, talked about back in the day. And then later on, he repudiated that. So we'll talk about that word. Go ahead and talk about Andor, Star Wars Andor, that is. Just an FYI, me and Zemo are going to do a whole joint on it, spoiler filled and everything, but I want to do like a quick review. To be honest, nobody really asked for a Star Wars Andor story. Like, let's be real. Like, don't get me wrong, Rogue One was lit. Like, Rogue One was like, you know, shout out to Tony Gilroy. He's the one that created and wrote the screenplay for Rogue One. It probably one of the best Star Wars movies in the last 10 years. Easily. Because the sequel trilogy was left much to be desired, right? I don't know what they was doing with that. But the story, you know, we know that in Rogue One, the main character, Cassian Andor, played by Diego Luna, he dies at the end of Rogue One. So this is the story of how he became radicalized, right? This is pretty much his life story. But this is like the last 5 years before the events in Rogue One. So let me just say, it comes off like, if HBO Max did Star Wars, it doesn't really seem like a Disney production, which I found to be odd. It really did. So there's no lightsaber scenes. There's no big, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It really is crazy. First of all, Stella Skarsgård plays Luthen Rael. Oh my God, dude just kills it. I think he's a Jedi, by the way. And then Genevieve O'Reilly plays Mon Mothma. And I was trying to understand why in Rogue One there was a lot of animosity towards her, and now I can see why. Also, Forrest Whitaker returns as Saw Gerrera, whose character just becomes more and more interesting if you've seen him in the Clone Wars and later on in Star Wars Rebels. And he's just, the more he's in it, it's just like, I want a movie about that guy. Also, Andy Serkis is in this. Like, holy smokes. And he, oh my God, he kills it. He kills it. But anyway, it feels like HBO Max did it. It is violent. It is, they even allude to sex, which is, they never talk about Star Wars, right? The episode one, Cassian goes to a brothel. Like, that's like scene one. You know what I mean? Like, crazy. So, the writing was amazing. Acting was great. The costumes were dope. Like, it really shows you, like, you know, and I also appreciated the fact that it wasn't in the same two places, Tatooine. You know, like, everything's at Tatooine. Everything is, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, there is Coruscant in it, but it's other places we ain't never heard of before. So it's really like, it was dope. It really is. I wish there were more episodes. You can tell they just put in a lot. There's going to be a season two. I know the season two is going to level it up, but I'm going to say this. Like, when I first watched Star Wars, I was like, oh, I want to be in the Rebel Alliance, right? You know, Empire was cool, but I'm like, I don't do that oppression stuff. But Andor, you don't want to be in the Rebellion. That's literally, I've walked away like, I would just rather be a civilian and just keep my head low, pay my bills, and stay out of the Empire's clutches. And this is what this movie does, this series does. And man, it's just really dope. I can't say enough about it. Word. Yo, I got a book review. Got a chance to finish up The Five Principles, A Revolutionary Path to Health, Inner Wealth, and Knowledge of Self, by Kanum Bomu, also known as Stick or Stickman, half of the Mighty Mighty Dead Prez, probably one of my favorite rap groups out there, back in the early aughts or 2000s, right? And, you know, we know, if you know Stick, he actually has two workout albums that I listen to consistently. They're both called The Workout 1 and The Workout 2. Really dope. Probably really, I know he helped pioneer a genre of hip-hop called fit hop. You know me, I don't really like throwing genre names around, but it's dope. It's probably one of the dopest workout albums ever produced in the hip-hop side, period. It really is very motivational. You can play it around the kiddies and all that stuff. It's really, really dope. But then again, Stick has always been on the health kick from the beginning. You know, he's one of those dudes that's always been on that. But I like The Five Principles, and the reason why I like The Five Principles is that, and he breaks it down. So it's mindset, listen to your gut, find your fitness, restoration, and then consistency. Those are the five principles, which I think, if anything, the one I love all the chapters, but consistency is the one that really kind of like, was like, you got to keep this going. Because there's times when I'll do a particular set of movements, and then I fall off and I switch up, and I need to be consistent. So that's something that's really cool. But also, find your fitness also stood out to me too, because I'm always telling folks that you got to find what fits your lifestyle, what makes you happy, what you really dig, and what you want to focus on. I think that's important. I think what I like about this this book is that it's his journey from when he was a kid, you know, what influenced him to do certain things, you know, how he had these bad habits, where they came from, and then how he got rid of those habits, and then the people he met along the way. Like, I really liked the part of when he talked about the different martial arts that he's taken, who he's trained with, and how it affected his body and everything. He also talks about when he got sick with the gout. So it's a journey. So he learns different things. And what I like is, you know, just like me, he's a fan of Bruce Lee. And he follows the adage that Bruce Lee always said, you know, take what works and get rid of the rest. And that's pretty much what he does. And I think it's a great idea. I think, again, I like that it's written as, you know, as a journey, you know, where it goes. And he has a lot of information in there. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be honest with you. I've always felt like self-help books shouldn't be no more than 100 to 110 pages. I think after that is just all platitudes. This one is about 300 pages. Again, he talks about his life a lot. And then he actually gives you charts and ideas and recipes and everything. So I think it works. I think it works with 300 pages. I know I'm a big fan of his, but I really think it works. I really think this would be a great gift for the brother in your life, or your sons, you know, uncles. It really is, because I like that he speaks from the heart in layman's terms. He doesn't hit you over the head with stuff. He even explains how some things didn't work for him. And he, you know, he points out it might not work for you. So I like it. I enjoy it. It's an easy read. Again, it'll make a great gift. Word up. Said he was going to do a King's Disease 3. We're going to refer to it as KD3 and the previous albums, King's Disease 1 and King's Disease 2, as KD 1 and 2, and this is KD3. So he did say he was going to release it in his last year's 2021's, the Christmas release of Magic, which I think was at the time the best collaboration between him and the producer Hit-Boy, who's probably one of my favorite young producers at this moment. So I knew he was going to do it. So when it came out, I missed the release. And then I know my barber and a bunch of them, he was like, yo, have you heard it? And I haven't. I did. So I wanted to do a review before the year was out. I'm going to say, even though at the time Magic was my favorite, I talked about this earlier this year, I guess KD3 is my favorite collaboration between Nas and Hit-Boy. And I know this is going to be the ending of that four. First of all, shout out to Nas and Hit-Boy, because four albums in 2 years, you know what I mean? Like full-length albums. It wasn't like EPs. Shout out to him. Shout out to Black Thought, because Black Thought is also doing the same thing. And I think that shit is dope that a lot of artists our age are really doing it. And Nas is 50 now. He talks about it a lot of King's Disease 3. Let me say this. I get really mad when artists my age start talking about like stuff that they talked about 30 years ago. Like, oh, you know, I'm still pushing, shooting guns and still fucking hoes, and I'm still selling drugs and pushing weight across borders. Like, I'd be like, come on, man. And so when Nas does that, I'm kind of like mad at him. Same thing with Jay-Z, right? But when they get into the bag of I'm grown up, you know what I mean? I got a family, I got to worry about investments and all that. And they reminisce about the old days and how things used to be and how they was bugging. I like that. I like that. And he does this. He's been doing it. He did it on Magic really well. And he's doing it here on KD3, and I really appreciate it. I love it. So, like, when he talks about Ghetto Reporter, that's the intro to the album. He's talking about how that's what he did. So he talks about some of the things he saw growing up and how it affected him. So I like that, because it's a dope beat and everything, and it gets into how PTSD really affects it without actually talking about it. Legit, which is the second track, is a banger. That's a club hit. I love it. I thought it was dope. Because he talks about his sexual virility as he gets older, right? And then, you know, the thing about KD1 and KD2 is there was a lot of filler tracks that were just not good. So for example, KD1 had maybe four tracks that were dope. The rest, you know, KD2, the songs that had the cameos were the ones that I liked. The rest, I was like, you can keep this. And I don't count cameos as like a bet, because you know what I'm saying? Because that's like you bringing... That's like I play basketball and I bring LeBron to play against y'all. You know what I mean? It's kind of like an added edge. So I don't always count the cameos as something that'll make your album dope. In this album, what I like about KD3
Which he did in Magic was he doesn't have Cameo. So I thought that, to me, that's dope. Because Nas can really hold his own. And there are very few people who can match his writing. You know what I'm saying? So that's why a lot of his cameos, when he brings people on, they don't really work. But anyway, I'm on Fire is another joint that I like. WTF SMH, I like it because it shows Nas playing with his words. You know what I'm saying? I think that's dope. And then probably the standout track to me is Once a Man, Twice a Child, because it really speaks to me getting older and how do I operate in this space. So definitely enjoy KD3. Shout out to you, Nas, and Hit-Boy. Word is born.
Lord of the mercy, all night Sunday, Central. Follow me now, Lord of the mercy, all night Sunday, Central. Follow me now, Lord of the mercy, all night Sunday, Central. Follow me now, Lord of the mercy, all night Sunday, Central.
So towards the end of 2022, this wasn't on my bingo card either. We had the People versus Daystar, but according to the media, it was really just a trial of Megan Thee Stallion, which she's a victim, of course, but sexism, right? Anyway, I didn't know that his name was Daystar. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? But actually, in these kind of cases, I'm really shocked that he got convicted of all four counts, right? I really thought they was going to find him guilty of one and the other three they weren't, but he looked like he might do some time. I still think he's not going to do the 20 years. I think they got to probably give him like 5 or 6. This is the way the system works when it comes to women, particularly black women. It doesn't fall in their favor. So there's people out there running around saying that it's splitting us up. I don't see how that is. I see it as a I hate to be this way. It is just another example of intimate partner violence, or IPV, that plays out. And it was just a circus, something that we all got to see. And it's unfortunate that people are taking sides when clearly Megan Thee Stallion is the victim, and Daystar is the victimizer, right? He's the abuser in all of this. Because really, ultimately, he could have just kicked her out of the car. Right. And no people are going to say, well, you weren't there. Well, guess what? You weren't there either. Right. We just have the word of Megan Daystar, her homie, and the driver. And the driver didn't want to testify for whatever reason. But all the evidence proves that he did it. And it's, again, this happens more often than not. It actually happens too often. So that's how you have to look at the case. I knew he was guilty from day one. I felt like this, again, his trial was a farce. It was a circus. And you saw that the defense was just putting Megan's business out there. That shit was whack. That was really whack. But again, sexism, you see how that works. But let's see what happens, when he's convicted. See what, you know, when he gets his time. Word up. Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com, and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag wearmykillertapeat, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, DanTresOmi. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, OMIS Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show, because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm check y'all out the next episode. Word.